Don't call me an amateur podcaster. Has anybody ever called you that?
No.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson. Nerd
Up. Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson, along with
Isaac Wilson.
This is going to be a movie review podcast. Mainly, we're going to do some catching up on movies that have been released so far this year, some reviews, and also we're going to feature another little portion of Convert a Nerd, or the Nerd Convergence, or Convert a Nerd Resurrection, or I'm not sure what we're going to call it. But anyway, once again, I'm going to be bringing in Brett Hartman from the Crossover Sports Podcast, and we're going to talk about Power Rangers. He saw Power Rangers, I saw Power Rangers, Isaac saw Power Rangers twice. We'll let him and I will talk about Power Rangers, but also Isaac will give his review here pretty soon. But it's been a busy year so far, movie-wise. I mean, we've seen a few of them that we really wanted to. I've missed a few because they were in and out of the theater before I could get a chance to go see them. But hey, I'm slow that way sometimes. But anyway, Isaac, let's start out with the movie Get Out. Okay, we saw Get Out. That's not really quite a nerdy movie at first, but it is a horror film of sorts, a psychological horror. So
a thriller, if you will.
Yeah, there you go. And it really, it fits in with the nerdiness, but it also has like sociological message to it too. So Get Out. First of all, let's get a little synopsis of it. Basically, this guy goes up to visit his girlfriend's parents for the weekend. They're in college. He's studying to be a photographer. Well, I know what she's up to, but we'll save that for later.
They're not racist, yo.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He's black, she's white. It's so funny. They go out of their way to show that they're not racist. But with the little twist that you get out of this movie, well, Jordan Peele,
the old white people are racist.
Yeah, Jordan Peele is the one that created this, wrote it and directed it, yeah, and everything. And I was thinking, when I heard he was doing the movie, I was like, oh, a comedy? No, not at all. I mean, it's got comedic moments, of course. Yeah. I don't want to give away the big spoiler yet. We'll save it for the end of the review. But basically, something's going on, and all the black people there are acting funny. And he's the only black person that knows that something's wrong. So, shall we go ahead and give the spoiler to it? I mean, it's been
a while since it's been out, and also not to mention the trailers. If you watch them, they kind of give everything away.
Yeah, they do kind of, except for the fact that how they're doing it. What's happening is,
well, if you mean the hypnosis, no, it kind of gives that away too.
No, I'm talking the actual brain transfer.
Oh yeah, that.
That's what they're doing. They're taking these young black men and women, and they're taking all the people that are getting old, and they're transferring their brains into the black people brains. It's weird because they go out of their way to show they're not racist, so I guess they're not if they're going to be put into a black body.
They aren't racist. It's just that they're like reverse. It's not reverse racism.
What would you call it?
That'd be white. It's more like they're
Okay. Well, no,
because
actually,
they want the black people's bodies because they explain that like they're physically superior to all the white people.
Right, right, and so yeah,
it's kind of like that one South Park episode with Negroplasty.
But I don't know. The way they did it. Come to find out, the girlfriend is behind it all. Really, I mean, the recruiting process.
Yeah,
and she's the recruiter. And oh man, it's just weird. Good horror. I mean, good thriller. You never know what's going to happen. It's got those moments at the end where, you know, you think, oh, good, it's over. And then, no, this happens. And but, yeah, it's they didn't really go into much detail about the brain transference process.
It's just that you can transfer brains now.
Yes, apparently. And it's pretty sci-fi-ish at that point.
Yeah.
So, okay, overall, what do you think of the movie?
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I don't really care too much for, like, social commentary kind of movies, but this really wasn't one. Like, you'd expect it to be mostly social commentary, and while some of it was, I thought it was, like, overall just a really good thriller movie.
Yeah. Yeah, insert race here. It doesn't matter, you know, what race they were going with, because the whole sci-fi part of it
took
away.
This could have been done with white people with just a different reason for the brain given. Like, they could have just said, oh, we want younger bodies.
Yeah.
We want to live forever.
Yeah, but the way they did it, it added that little extra.
Yeah, it's just
oomph to it.
Yeah, it's like they don't go out of their way to make it a social point.
Right. Exactly. And then I forget the lead actor's name, but his sidekick, if you will, the guy that works at the TSA, yeah. He turns out to be the comedy relief, and he really brings out the fun in the movie. If you want that, but yeah, I'd agree. It was good. It was a really good movie. I enjoyed it, and I was surprised that I enjoyed it because the trailers didn't make it seem like it was going to be that interesting. And then all of a sudden, people started talking about it, and we're like, "Fine, let's go see it." We went and saw it. It was good. Yeah, it's definitely one of those that if you didn't see it at the big screen, get it on DVD or whatever, download it, whatever it takes anymore these days, and watch it. It's worth watching. And it's got a little sci-fi twist to it, and a little bit of thriller, and a little bit of chasing through the woods, sort of. Well, actually, just down in a wooded driveway.
It's got a ton of horror cliches.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. But they're not hit-in-the-head type cliches either. You're just enjoying the movie. So, all right, well then, moving on, let's see. Oh, Kong. Kong of Skull Island, or is that what it is?
It's Kong, colon, Skull Island.
Okay, so, now this movie... you weren't that interested in seeing that, were you?
Not really, because, like, in the trailers, they do a good job of not really giving anything away.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to give stuff away, so...
Yeah, and it was one of those movies... Okay, first of all, okay, I grew up in the 70s watching King Kong, Godzilla, Japanese movies, and, you know, the King Kong was just a horrible... it just looked really bad. Okay, I guess Godzilla didn't look that good either, man in a rubber suit. But... I mean, it was cheap effects, but they went together well. In fact, if you go back with the original Godzilla versus King Kong movie, it was never really supposed to be Godzilla versus King Kong. It was supposed to be Godzilla versus Frankenstein. And they had to change things for licensing purposes, and it ended up being Godzilla versus King Kong. Little side note there. But anyway, this one, it's the epic monster film. And in this one, he got to battle... Let's see, what did he battle?
He battled the skull crawlers and the Kraken.
The Kraken, that's the one I remember the best.
But there were still other monsters and
on Skull Island. Yeah, and that's the thing, the other kaiju, the other monsters, very similar to the kaiju in the Godzilla movie. Similar aspects of it.
Kinda, yeah.
And then also very similar aspects to
Pacific Rim,
yeah. And so it's like,
I think that was the Skullcrawler influence, was the Pacific Rim monsters, because that's what they reminded me of.
And that's got me curious about that Pacific Rim tie-in.
Well,
but
it's made by the same directors or producers or whatever.
They had the costumes left over or something? But, and then at the end of the movie, well, first of all, you got some great actors. You got Samuel L. Jackson. You've got...
Who almost drops the F-bomb in a PG-13 movie.
I know. And then you got John Goodman. And, I mean, those guys, they're at it. Because John Goodman is the scientist and Samuel Jackson is the soldier, and you know the cliche of them being at odds.
And you've got what's his name? Guardians of the Galaxy character, the Nova Corps guy,
John C. Reilly. Yeah,
John C. Reilly.
Yeah, he was the pilot that was stranded on the island after World War II. And this is like right after the Vietnam War when this took place. But anyway, yeah, he was he knew the island. He had lived there since World War II and was stranded there. And but anyway, they're going to bring him back along with everything else. But there's all sorts of monsters on the island. Now, okay, sure, it's a great King Kong. He battled monsters. They did not bring him back to New York and put him on display, let him escape. That was one of the good things I liked about it, because the American King Kong movies, that's what they do. But the Japanese King Kong movies, they never did that. Okay, and that's kind of what they're going with. Now, here's the thing. At the end of this movie, stick around for the post-credit scene, because they give you teasers.
With
Mothra.
Mothra.
King Ghidorah. And there's one other.
Was it Rodan?
Rodan.
Was it Rodan?
Yes, it was Rodan.
Monster Zero, that's what it was in the original.
Yeah, that's right. It was King Ghidorah.
I think they called it Monster Zero or something like that.
Didn't he become King Ghidorah after they replaced one of his heads?
I don't know.
I think a robotic head.
I have not seen... No, that's Mecha King Ghidorah.
Okay. We'll have to go back and rewatch some of those old movies. But anyway, so that's what they're doing. They're setting it up for another series of those monster movies, those kaiju films that are just so fun to watch. They tease you, and you know Mothra's coming up. Mothra's always cool. Rodan. And then, of course, King Ghidorah or Monster
no,
Zero.
No, it wasn't Rodan. It was Anguirus or Anguilus.
Well, he was there, too, but Rodan was on there also. Because, in fact, I think they even mentioned Rodan. But anyway, so, they're getting ready for those big kaiju films that are going to be coming up. We know they're going to be awesome because, hey, Godzilla vs. King Kong is just going to be fun. Big monster movies are always good. All in all, the effects were awesome. The acting was just really cool. I mean, these guys, the Sam Jackson is Sam Jackson. And I want this Monday, Friday monkey off this monkey fighting plane. Or, well, you know. Anyway.
I want this monkey fighting squadron on this Monday to Friday island.
Yeah. So, but it really worked out well. The story was fun. It was great action. Little bit of humor here and there, like the old Godzilla movies are supposed to. Not as much campiness as the originals, but, you know. So, all in all, I'll tell you, I enjoyed it. I had a blast, walked out of there. I watched a good movie with some good effects. It took me away from reality for a little while. What'd you think?
I thought it did its purpose, and that was to just show a battle between giant monsters, pretty much. Like, I mean, if you watch the old Godzilla movies, nobody actually watches them for the plot and everything.
No.
You kind of wait for the end whenever the monsters duke it out.
Yeah, and that cool music. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Anyway, that was the Godzilla. Supposedly.
That was not a very good
I never said I was musically inclined. So anyway, but yeah, Kong Skull Island, that's a great way to start out this year. Let's go to another one that's a great way to start out this year. Logan. Now, holy cow, 100%, and I've said it before on a previous podcast when we had Todd Black on here. Logan, best X-Men movie in the series. That's my 100%.
If you don't count Deadpool.
Well, yeah, if you don't count Deadpool. So, it was just great. I've already said this. We've already talked about it in the podcast. We haven't had your opinion on it. What did you think of Logan?
I feel like this, I have to agree, was probably the greatest quote-unquote Marvel, like the Marvel franchise movie that...
Mm.
No, actually, I'd say it's the greatest X-Men movie, excluding Deadpool, yeah, that Fox has produced. So
okay,
far.
Okay. Because it's hard to say it's better than Guardians.
Well, I was going to say, like, best Marvel franchise... movie like that other companies owned,
kind of right.
Like Spider-Man, including Spider-Man and the others, but I was like, oh, Deadpool, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, excluding Deadpool, it was the best Marvel copywritten, other company owned.
Yeah. Didn't that get confusing?
Yeah.
So, what was your, what would you like best about this movie?
Oh, man. The fact that it was how a Wolverine movie should be with all the blood and gore.
Yes. That was a great part. I mean, his weapons were not wasted. He didn't just fake punch people and all. Yeah. What would you have made different if you'd have made it?
Probably wouldn't have that entire family die. Maybe have at least one person live instead of every single person in that house die. Maybe have the Weapon X young Wolverine kill only those, like, old farmers instead.
Yeah. But we were introduced to X-23 and some other mutants, so... and plus, it kind of went... It didn't follow along the original Old Man Logan scene. I mean, first of all, Spider-Man and him are in a car ride across the country in the original Old Man Logan comic, so...
Well, then that means it's just replace Spider-Man with Professor X.
Yeah, exactly. And there's someone else that was with him, too. I can't remember off the top of my head. Maybe Hulk?
Caliban.
Yeah, Caliban. Yeah.
Caliban.
Well, yeah, well, Caliban was...
he was also in X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not the first time we've seen him. I think he was... Was he in the Old Man... Oh, man,
no.
It's been so long since I've seen Old Man Logan.
But either way, Caliban... I didn't really know much about him, but I'm glad to see they introduced... Like, or not
gave him a proper introduction.
I'm glad that they gave him time in the spotlight and not just, like, some other mainstream X-Men, like... any of the ones you can list off the top of your head.
Cyclops?
Yeah.
Beast?
Like, yeah, exactly. As long as it's not... Because there's so many X-Men in the actual comics.
Oh, yeah. Bazillion of them, I think. That's a good thing they're getting rid of them. All right. Well, Logan, good movie. Definitely worth seeing. I still say it's the best. you said is the best in the X-Men series, or in the Fox-owned? Is it Fox-owned?
Well, I was just going to say non-Marvel, non-Disney-owned.
Yeah, non-Disney-owned. That's the best way to put that. So, yeah. It was really good. Let's just move on to the one we just got through watching. And then I'm going to have you do your Power Rangers review to close this section out. But we just went and saw Ghost in the Shell with Scarlett Johansson. And, the story behind it is that, way into the future, they can transplant a brain into a shell, into a robot, into an android, and therefore have human, the ghost part, the soul, and that's the thing, ghost in the shell.
And also screw the first law. First law of robotics.
Robotics, yeah. Well, since it's got a human brain, yes. I guess
I'm talking about the other ones that were hacked.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Screw the first law.
Yeah. And so, it really, a lot of people complained about this one. It got some flack because of having a white woman play the lead part.
Major.
Yeah, and now, I will say this. First of all, Scarlett Johansson is Eastern European, you know, almost Russian. I'm trying to think of her nationality. But, so she's close to the region, okay? She's even got some slight looks. Okay, I can stand behind that. But in this movie, all you haters, it kind of explains why.
It does explain it.
I honestly, if you watch Ghost in the Shell, I've watched Ghost in the Shell, the series, standalone complex. And, you know, I mean, it's, if you look at the artwork, she's got round eyes, as do most females in anime. They have the round eyes. They want that American look is what I've heard a lot. In fact, in Japan, a lot of women are getting the surgery to get that look. So, okay, you could justify it there. Another way to also think about it is that
she's an android and she's not even like human at all.
Yeah, she's got the Japanese brain. They talk about that. But she's an android. Yeah, and it worked. To me, honestly, it works. The special effects, the visual effects, beautiful. It was like I was watching an anime. You know, there were scenes, especially when they're going through the city, it's like, that's just like, I mean, I couldn't tell if it's like cartoon or real. And that's the thing with anime. If you get a really good anime, there's a lot of times you can't tell if it's cartoon or real. They kind of did that here, and they had lots of cool special effects. And I swear, I saw an Avengers lineup on one when they're going downtown.
I don't know.
Yeah, I saw an Iron Man and a Hulk thing, and I'm pretty sure I saw Red, White, and Blue. I'm going to go back and see that. But anyway, that's just beside the point. So all you haters, watch it first. And really, it's well done. And most of the other cast are Japanese, except for the main parts, which kind of would bug somebody and many people.
Well, most of the main parts are robots anyway. So,
right. So it's like, you know.
And the only main human is a Japanese man who speaks Japanese throughout the entire movie.
Yeah. Like,
there's not a moment where he is speaking English.
Yep. And that's the guy. And that's one thing I leaned over to Isaac about in the anime. I can't remember his name, but he's the like the boss of Section 9, and he's got that hair that flares out on the sides. They did that in here. They made it look like him. I thought that was very well done.
Kind of reminded me of Dr. Wily from Mega Man.
Yeah. So it was, again, for the haters, give it a chance. I loved it, and I like Ghost in the Shell. And when I first heard Scarlett Johansson, I'm like, what? And then after I got to thinking about it, I'm like, well, okay, she's from that region. Her nationality is from that region. So,
Sukubliat.
And so that's why she plays Natasha Romanoff so well, you know. So, but it's like saying that Isaac's Canadian because he's from this region, but his head is not split in half and separates when he talks. So, but anyway,
I don't have a show about me farting, sadly.
Yeah. So, but I mean the story was great. It's a great origin story, and. It really, to me, it's set up for sequels. It's set up for all sorts of, and that's the way the anime is anyway, so. But I loved it. I really, visually, it just grabbed me. We accidentally saw the 3D version. We just wanted to go see it, and it just so happened that'd be the 3D version showing at that time. But we had a blast, I had a blast watching this movie. In fact, there's a part I had, it's like the Guardians of the Galaxy thing for me. My bladder was full, I did not want to get up, but it came to a point where I had to. And I was like, I have to. But I did not want to get up. So, all right, Isaac, what do you think?
I don't know how to explain it, but I don't really enjoy, like, movies that spend more time on the, like, exposition than they should. Quote-unquote exposition, a good example, would be Batman versus Superman, because all of it was just... Batman's backstory and Superman's hero cake, but that was way too much time on the exposition. And this one, while it did have, like, pretty much the same amount of time as exposition, it was divided well, and it, like, it all kind of just fit right into the storyline.
So, the exposition, actually, it was, like, interspersed between what was going on currently.
And there was also the, it was mixed in well with the exposition, the plot, and action. Like, all three, it just fit really well, like a puzzle.
Cool. Yeah, and, you're right. And that's one of the things that made it really, I mean, as just a great storyline, because it was a good origin story.
And I do like whenever they have, whenever movies and shows have a villain who's not actually a villain. Because, like, the first person, the villain we're introduced to, the Hacker Man. He's not really even the villain at all. Like, you could even say that he's justified in what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of that's what leads on to Major actually developing, you know, it's like, wait a minute. I need to avenge this. So, to borrow from, even from the movie. Yeah, you're right. The villain is not quite the villain that you think he is. But they did have a villain that was really, I didn't like the guy. It came down to it.
You're introduced to the actual villain early on, but you find out he's the actual villain.
Yeah.
Like, a good, pretty much, I'd say, like, 40 minutes from the end of the movie, maybe.
Yeah. And you know what I was surprised at? I expected the movie to be longer. I wish it would have been, actually, at one point. But, because it was great to watch.
Yeah, I know. I don't really know that much about Ghost in the Shell, but just from watching Standalone Complex so far, it seems like the storyline is really, really complicated. And I was like, wow, how are they going to fit the first one into a 3-hour or like 2-hour movie?
Yeah. I've recently made you watch a couple episodes.
It's on Toonami now.
Yeah. So does this movie make you want to see more? Interest you even more?
I do kind of want to, because now that I at least somewhat understand Major and the, like, I somewhat understand what they did in the original Ghost in the Shell, so now I can watch Standalone Complex without being as much unfilled in on the information.
Right, I see, yeah.
Because I'm sure this isn't entirely accurate to the original, but
it's
got to be close. It's got to be close in some way.
Yeah.
Because they have the Bato. He looks the exact same. So
I loved what they did with his eyes.
If you can get the character, like, suit and look right, then I feel like they probably got most of the story right.
Another movie we saw that was nerdy, and we recommend it. A fun movie. It's another one of those movies that I could sit in there, washed over me. There was some thinking that had to be done during this movie. I mean, it's more of a thinking person's movie, but it's still a great escape.
I read on Twitter somebody didn't like it because you have to think more in the original Ghost in the Shell. But you as I watch this, I'm like, wow, I still need to think a lot for this.
Yeah.
So, it's less thinking than the original, but it's still a lot of thinking that you have to do.
Yeah. And it's worth watching. And besides that, you know, Scarlett Johansson is kind of easy on the eyes. So, all right, let's talk about one more movie here. Again, this is one that Brett and I reviewed, which is going to be coming up in a segment right after Isaac and I review. Or actually, after Isaac reviews. But Power Rangers, the movie came out. Movie that totally surprised me. You'll hear my response and reaction. But Isaac, you were never really a Power Rangers fan, were you?
Not really, but the thing is, everybody was saying this movie was bad, it was awful, critics hated it. And then I went to the movie, I'm like, okay, maybe I shouldn't expect the best. It was really good. It was arguably, like, one of the best remakes I've ever seen. Actually, it probably is the best remake of, like, an old TV show or movie that I've ever seen. Everything that the show did wrong, this movie did right. Like, the old show was really, I'm not talking about the original Super Sentai, I'm talking about Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
And the original show, I remember I watched it, since it's on Netflix, I watched a little bit of it whenever we first got Netflix, and I'm like, wow, this is really cheesy. How did Zach and Alex ever watch this?
Zach and Alex being his older siblings.
But the movie, it had its humor, but it was also not cheesy at all. Like, they had a character for every kind of, like, person with a problem. Like, if you have, if you, if you're black, if you have some sort of learning disability, if you have a dead parent, if you're gay, if you're crazy and your mom's dying, mm-hmm. and then if you're just like a girl who's been separated because high school girls are cruel,
mm-hmm. well, you know,
and you got the jock.
So okay,
everybody, you can there. I don't think there's anybody that couldn't relate in this movie.
Well, basically. Here's the thing: you're going to hear this when Brett and I, when you hear Brett and I talk about the movie, but he brought this up. Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
It was Breakfast Club with superheroes.
Yeah. I mean, I've never actually seen the full movie of Breakfast Club, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I get the gist of it.
So, yeah, but fun.
It was also, yeah, it was really, okay. You, in the original, like, teaser trailer, people looked at the suits and they're like, oh, that's disgusting. But the suits look good. Like, even though it was old, I'll give it that, and it kind of had to be cheesy. The old suits were very, you know, cheesy. They were just helmets with dinosaurs on them.
Yeah, and with spandex.
Yeah, but this movie, they look like actual, like, super suits.
Yeah, and they explain pretty much how they did at the beginning there, that they're from another planet.
And my personal favorite part had to be that they even brought the original theme song back. Like, in the moments, whenever they all got their dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And they had the Megazord as well.
So, what did you think of Walter White, you know, Heisenberg as Zordon?
I like him. It's a little bit... Okay, this is the only thing that... there are two things that threw me off in the movie.
All right.
Well, the first one was every time... The language was inconsistent for the aliens, because not only is it just... If the name was at the beginning of a sentence or at the end of a sentence, in the alien language, the name was said at the beginning or end of a sentence. And, you know, you didn't need to do that because it doesn't need to follow English rules of, like, subjects and stuff. But also, whenever they were talking, what's his name? The robot...
Alpha 5
and Zordon. Whenever they were talking in the ship, you know, they were talking in the language and they had subtitles for that. And then they... We're also talking afterwards. Jason finds out that the reason Zordon wanted them to morph was so he could step through the morphing grid, right?
Right.
Well, he wouldn't have figured that out since it was just Zordon and Alpha 5 talking. He wouldn't have figured that out if they were just talking in their
native
language.
Right. Yeah. No, okay. I know. Oh my gosh. I forgot about that scene.
You know, you think too much about the action and how cool the movie is to really care too much about that.
But what'd you think of Goldar?
I thought Goldar looked... I don't know how to phrase it other than it looked like a Yu-Gi-Oh! Monster.
And I thought it was cool because it was constantly flowing melted gold.
The texture was cool. Anyway, the other thing that... Zach, the character, the guy that played Zach, every time they were in danger, I couldn't help but laugh because his scream was the most monotone thing I've ever heard. Like, whenever they were, like, being pushed into the... crystal pit or whatever, I couldn't focus on anything other than and it was hilarious. But other than that, I really did enjoy the movie, and I'm glad that they, because near the end of the movie you're like, oh man, no Megazord, and then right at the end of the movie it's the Megazord.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to when Brett and I were talking earlier, I was trying to think of what it was that they what it was called. So the Megazord. So And the thing is, they explained why the Megazords are dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I like that. Because before, it's like, just dinosaurs, because dinosaurs are cool.
Yeah.
No, why are they? And now we know.
It's kind of like the same explanation for the TARDIS. It just takes the form of whatever was the best suited for it back in that time.
Right, exactly. So,
So, like, if they had Zords and they were created in the modern days, they wouldn't even have dinosaurs to base off of.
Yeah, I know. So that'd be creepy now. So, all right,
whales and stuff.
But so far, we're in April now, and you know, the movies are just. I mean, these are just the beginnings of the year. I mean, usually it's the not so great movies that come out at the beginning of the year, but they've been a lot of fun. We still have Guardians of the Galaxy. We still have Spider-Man: Homecoming. I mean, there's. Whole bunch of movies coming out this year. That's going to be a great year for movies.
I've also got to mention, mm-hmm. it did really well for setting up for a sequel.
Yeah, true. The Power Rangers is.
I want it to have a sequel, and it did a good job at setting up the after credits scene of having Tommy Oliver.
Yeah.
attention.
The Green Ranger, was it?
Yeah, that's
green, then green later and white.
No, yeah. It was white, then green.
Was it? Okay. See, I'm not that huge of a fan. There's a lot of...
I'm sure you could have just gone in there and
asked osmosis. Mom. Yeah,
Mom
true.
Knows about Tommy.
She knows all about the sexy Tommy.
Also, Tommy and Kimberly, the originals, made a cameo in the movie.
Yeah, and Rita Repulsa did too.
Yeah.
The original Rita Repulsa.
I didn't even know that until you told me that, but...
Yeah, so,
I like especially in the credits that it's listed as cameo 1 and cameo 2.
Yeah.
Instead of just bystanders.
One thing, I'm not going to give it away, but they were bystanders, the pink and the green ranger and white ranger. Rita Repulsa, when Brett and I gave the review, you're going to hear that after this, weird time travel thing we're doing on this podcast. That's crazy. But anyway, we decided not to give away the part of Rita Repulsa. After I pointed it out to him, he's like, oh, crap, you're right. So now he's like, when you see the movie, see if you can figure out which is Rita Repulsa. Once I've told you that, you're actually going to see it, and you go, oh, yeah, that's obvious. All right, well, let's see. That's it, like I said, beginning of the year with some great movies. We're going to be more. Isaac, you and I are going to be going to the Indiana Comic-Con.
Yep.
But anyway, that's coming up, and there's a whole lot more to do. Eric Billingsley is slowly healing, and Tim Matson, I don't know where he is. He actually quit Facebook.
Did he really?
He did. He got tired of the crap the negativity and all this stuff. He says, I don't need it. Why bother? And I was like, good point. But then again, I don't pay attention to what other people post. So it's like, I don't care. But anyway, so we'll get him back on, and Tim Coker, of course. We'll get everybody back together. By the way, Todd Black's Kickstarter, he got funded. Of course, it was funded when we interviewed him, but he went over, and he's going to have that out pretty soon. And the Haunting Tales from Bachelor's Grove got funded, the horror comic based on the cemetery up by Chicago. It got funded, with Charles D. Moisant and Brian K. Morris. It's going to be coming out. Philo Barnhart, the guy that created The Little Mermaid, is going to be doing some work with them. And anyway, so the Kickstarter of that one got funded. So I might give you an update on that. I got a friend of mine that just had a Kickstarter, and this is where I hate Facebook, because I never saw a single posting that he even had a Kickstarter running. But James Azrael, we've interviewed him before. He's with the Horror and Sci-Fi Prop Preservation Society, or Association, or whatever they are, where they take props from movies, and he's putting them on display in museums. Well, he's got a book out, and the Kickstarter for that was fully funded, and the book's coming out pretty soon. So we're going to be talking to him about that. So there's all sorts of things coming up on the Nerd Up podcast. In the meantime, right now, we'll take a little bit of a break, and we'll bring in Brett Hartman, and we'll do that Convert a Nerd thing, have a jock talk about something nerdy, and we'll see what happens. Stay tuned for that coming up. Once again, we're going to convert a nerd. Convert a nerd. That's hard to say.
Now, isn't this the converting of the nerd?
Yeah, this is
a continuous thing?
I guess it is a continuous process.
Yeah, the converting.
Okay, the converting of the nerd. Hey, that's easier to say, actually, too. So
and,
I'm liking that.
And the final one will be the conversion.
Yeah. And then resurrection.
There you go. Resurrection later, 3 years later.
This will be a whole series. We'll have Marvel movies beat on their planning.
You ever notice that whenever they run the resurrection in the trilogy or whatever, it's always the last one?
Mm-hmm.
Like 3 years after the second one. You have the craziest.
All right, hold on.
Text message ringtone I've ever heard in my life.
That's from Doctor Who.
I believe it.
And I'm hoping. Yeah, it's from Doctor Who, and it's anybody know?
It's from actual Doctor Who?
Yeah, the angels. I forget the.
No, your message. Angel. It's from Doctor Who?
Yeah, it is.
Doctor Who's texting.
The TARDIS is pulling up. We're going to be going out time space. Anyway, oh, by the way, this is Brett Hartman from the Crossover Sports Podcast. We're in the conversion process of making him a nerd, and as we discovered throughout the last podcast or last one he was on, it's not really a conversion. It's a matter of reawakening the nerd in him. So that's it. This is the converting reawakening. So, Brett, what nerdy thing did you do recently?
Hey, nerds. Hey, actually, is that offensive if I say that when I start out? Nerds.
Not that I know of. It's the Nerd Up Podcast. I call it.
So I have, since our last chat, and I have been doing some nerdy things, man.
Okay.
So one nerdy thing for me, which I talked about on the last podcast, is Sunday was WrestleMania.
Right.
So I go deep into that one.
Uh-huh.
And last night I actually went and saw the Power Rangers movie.
Oh.
Per your recommendation, actually.
Right. And what'd you think?
So overall, man, I thought it was really... I was very surprised. It was really good. I expected kind of like a little B-level movie.
Uh-huh.
Maybe with some special effects.
Right, right.
But dude, it was pretty legit. I was very surprised.
Cool. Yeah, that it actually, you know what? It surprised me too. I expected it to be a lot more childish, and it was not. I mean, I think you said it earlier before we recorded was that it was more like a teen movie.
Dude, it really reminded me of The Breakfast Club.
Because
they met in detention.
That's right.
He had to overcome the bully.
Yep.
Because he was the jock that messed up and did some dumb stuff, ruined his career.
Yep. Oh, my God.
Just like The Breakfast Club, man.
All they needed was Simple Minds singing Don't You Forget About Me in the background. And
some pot smoking.
Oh, yeah.
And some running from the principal.
And the funky dance on the tabletop.
Definitely the funky dance.
Yeah. Well, that was after the pot smoking.
Gotta wear the Ray-Bans. Yeah. Nerds gotta wear the Ray-Bans. So then Billy.
That's it. So, yeah, so, you know, that's a good way to put that. Let's first talk about the special effects. What do you think of the magic that was the Power Rangers? And the Zord, what is that? The giant robot thing?
Yeah, the Zord.
Yeah, okay.
I think
that's right.
I think that's probably what it's called.
You know, I'm not a huge Power Rangers fan.
No. Same, obviously. I've actually recently been watching Power Rangers Turbo on Netflix with my son.
Oh, wow.
Because he's starting to get into that as a 3-year-old, so that's good timing.
Yeah.
You know what? I thought that the special effects were seamless. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't really look at them as special effects. It was just part of it. Like, mm-hmm. It just went with the story. I didn't even really notice that they were trying hard or anything like that. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas you see The Matrix and you see, oh, these special effects, you dig deep into that. Oh, that move there, that jump there, they weren't even, you know, it wasn't even
right.
A person. But this actually went really well with the movie, with the story.
Definitely so. I mean, watching all the gold be pulled out of the ground to create the Goldar monster.
That was legit.
I was like, that's crazy. I loved it. And it looked good, too. And as he walked and as he was formed, he was still flowing with hot gold.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty cool touch.
So it was pretty interesting. The suits, a lot of people were going to complain about the suits, saying they looked more electronic.
Yeah.
But I think they just fit with the times. I mean, look at those old Power Ranger suits. Come on.
Yeah, for sure. I saw a picture of that today. So it was a meme on Instagram. It said, I showed my 4-year-old cousin the Power Rangers of when I was a kid, mm-hmm. compared to what she has, and she called me gay. I don't think I've ever been so offended in my life. Also, this was a meme. I didn't create this. That's just what I saw. And it had a picture of the two side by side, and it's a pretty good point. It's pretty bad.
They were bad costumes. That's all there is.
Well, it was just...
Yeah, and well, here's the thing, though. At our time, though, the way the costumes fit was a big deal. I mean, I don't know about you, but as a youth, I kind of like that Pink Ranger.
Oh, yeah. By far, so the Power Rangers, the original series, first ever Power Rangers on Fox, I believe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That came out when I was in kindergarten.
Wow.
When I was in kindergarten and first grade, my first ever crush was on the Pink Ranger. It was on Kimberly of the Power Rangers. I wanted to be the Red Ranger. I had like a little hill in my front yard.
Oh,
I would
nice.
Do backflips off of it.
Right.
Build up snowman and just like drop kick them and stuff. So that hit home pretty well because I like that they just went from the original story.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I asked you. I said, hey, actually I didn't ask you. I asked my podcast partner, Brian. I said, hey, is this number one or is this part of a series that we're seeing? He's like, for this rendition is the first one ever.
Right.
So it really went with that original story and I loved that.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And the thing is, speaking of Kimberly, the original actress playing her made a little cameo.
Yes, she did. And who was the other person?
Wasn't he the Red Ranger? And I can't think
was
of
it
the name.
Was it the Red Ranger or was that Tommy, the green/white Ranger?
That's it.
That's
Tommy,
who it was, right?
That was Tommy.
I thought it was
That's
him.
Right.
Yeah. So, spoiler alert, guys, suck it.
There's a couple of cameos. In fact, the mother of the Asian kid.
Be on the lookout for her. Don't tell everybody what character she is.
Oh, okay.
So be on the lookout for her. What other original was in there?
That's the only ones I can remember off the top of my head, but I do like the new actors they got in there.
Yes. Okay, so let's talk about that. So that's one of the main things that surprised me was that, okay, so I didn't know any of the kid actors, any of the
right,
actual Rangers,
right.
Never seen them before. I think that I might have recognized Billy from something else, but probably not, to be honest. But the main adult actors in this movie are well-known actors.
Right.
Okay, so...
Well, you got Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad.
He is...
Zordon.
He was Zordon.
And the voice of the robot, I can never remember the name, but that was...
You know, so Bill Spader or...
Hader.
Bill Hader, yeah.
Alpha 5, that's the name of the robot.
Dude, and he was perfect for that.
Wasn't, yeah.
Bill Hader was perfect for
just
that.
The right amount of sarcasm and confusion.
Elizabeth Banks, Rita Repulsa, dude, that's the biggest one for me.
Okay.
I was really surprised because she's in a lot of movies.
Okay.
Like, pull up her IMDb real quick, dude. She has a ton of credits. I was very surprised to see her in this movie, although I do remember seeing her in the preview, so I can't remember that. I can't believe that I had actually forgot. It's been that long since I saw the main trailer, the first one that they released.
Right.
And she was all over that one. She hasn't really been on any of these new ones.
Right, that's true.
Which was perfect because it really surprised me.
Huh?
It surprised me so much that those three were in it that like really like hook, line, and sinker like really got me to buy into the movie.
Yeah, I was looking here. First of all, hey, she's in Power Rangers. But anyway, she's also in, let's see, Celebrity Conversations, a little TV series. She's in Modern Family for a bit. Actually, quite a bit of Modern Family. Did you ever see Magic Mike XXL?
I didn't Please see the second no. one. Was she in that? I saw the first one.
Yeah, she was in that one.
So look, man, she's in it.
She's in a lot of voice acting too
of movies. Oh yeah,
yeah. Family Guy. She's got let's see here. Lego movies, Phineas and Ferb. I mean, she does a lot of voice acting too. So.
Red Hot American Summer.
Yeah. Oh, 30 Rock. She was on there for a while.
She's in as an actress, 82 roles.
Okay. Wow.
As a credited actress, it's 82 roles.
That's a
She's
lot.
Also produced, directed, archive footage, self. Yeah, so
it's like 82 more than I am.
Yeah, so, 82 nice. More than me. Nice. So shout out to Elizabeth Banks for being such a beast in the actress world.
Yeah, and again, my favorite though was Bryan Cranston as Zordon and the effect they used to get him.
Okay, so let me ask you this:
uh-huh.
in the opening scene, spoiler alert here for you again, folks. in the opening scene when he was fighting the original Rita Repulsa,
right.
And he was that body. He was physically there. Could you tell it was him? Because I thought it was him, but I wasn't sure. You could absolutely tell?
Well, first of all, knowing that going into
it. Oh, you knew it going into it? Okay, spoiler alert for you.
Yeah, so it's like, I knew it was him, and I was like, well, okay, where'd I look for him besides Zordon? And then right off the bat, there he is. I'm like, okay, my hunt's over. So, I go, that's part of being a nerd, I guess. I go into nerdy movies doing a little homework first.
I got you.
And it's very rare just walk into a movie.
But you didn't know about Elizabeth Banks.
No, I was not aware.
So, winner, chicken dinner for the crossover podcast. Because I had that one, that little factoid.
Okay, so every once in a while, the nerd comes through and you catch a break.
Well, you know what that is that you focus so much on the nerd genre that you miss some of the mainstream stuff that I might have caught. That's why, good team right here, bud.
There you go.
Good team.
I like it. What's mainstream for you? What would you
do? I mean, like that came out when I was in college, like 4-Year-Old Virgin did, and that was a huge movie.
You're right.
I've already known her from that. She's in the Hunger Games series.
Yeah.
Like, she's in Red Hot American Summer, Wet Hot American Summer, which is something that I've watched recently.
Yeah, I kind of like so the sound of that one.
I've run into her a few times.
Okay.
Hey, good show if you like horny teens. But it's actually adults playing the horny teens. So
oh, okay. So it's okay.
They're
then.
Camp counselors.
Unlike in the 80s when all the
teens
were horny teens. Now, how much of a fan of the Rangers were you before?
So I liked them when I was a kid, and then that was really it.
And
like,
now that
you're
done?
Like, I mean, the TV show that we're watching is terrible. Like, it's
they all
it's the Power Rangers that we all
right.
associate with already. Like, this Power Rangers, this version of it, is much different than any other Power Rangers thing that I've seen.
Yeah.
And I know they've had movies in the past, but I think this is the best one they have so far.
I think so, too. I've seen the others, and they were just as campy as the series. This one was, I wouldn't say serious, because they had their campy moments, and they played them well. But it was like,
what does that mean, campy moments?
Where they're reaching for the laugh just to reach for the laugh.
Ah, okay, gotcha.
You know?
Yeah, the stuff they telegraph, like, oh, this is coming here, and there it was.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for that.
And, you know, it wasn't as campy as the original of the series. Well, you know, the best example, Batman 66, that's campy.
Batman 66?
Yeah, the 1966 series of Batman with Adam West.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it was supposed to be, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I got you. Okay.
So, all right, but anyway, yeah, and I thought that was really nice. It's modernized, basically, the Power Rangers.
Yeah.
For, like you said, teens, and I really think that I could agree with that, mainly because Isaac saw it twice.
So let me ask you a question about the Power Rangers. What was the single best thing or what was it about the Power Rangers movie that made you like it? Because how...
A little bit of nostalgia was part of it.
Because you paid attention to the series when it first came out?
No, I really didn't. I just knew about it and here and there, and I'd had friends that watched it. When I was in the Navy, that's when the first one came out. When you get off work in the afternoon, everybody go into our lounge on the ship, you know, or, you know, each department had a lounge. And you go into the lounge, and the first one in there had control of the TV.
Oh.
Well, we had this guy that had just got in the Navy.
Okay.
And I think he's like just turned 18. And he would get in there fast, and Power Rangers would be on the TV. And every day. So he got his hour of Power Rangers and Transformers, and then we could go on.
I got you. But you got down with the Transformers back then, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, kind
of. So it wasn't too bad for you.
Well, the thing about it was that you go in there, and you just sit there, and you'd watch it whether you liked it or not.
Okay, I got you. Yeah. Just because you wanted to separate yourself from
all the work you've been in all day. Yep, and exactly. All, yeah. So, but anyhow, so that's how I got, you know, put it in my brain that Power Rangers were a thing.
Okay.
And
was that the original series that you got to see, or like 50 renditions later?
That was the original
series. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, by the way, do you know the history of Power Rangers, how it came to America?
Okay, so let me just tell you what I know about the Power Rangers.
All right.
So that I know that basically the version that we got when I was a kid, when it first ever came out, the Power Rangers was already overseas, I want to say in China or Japan.
Japan.
And basically they already had all the action and special effects already done with the Japanese actors and all that stuff.
Right.
But they did the storyline, the American storyline, they recorded that here. Correct?
Sort of.
Okay, please.
It was originally produced for a Japan movie. It was a Japanese TV series.
Okay.
And that's all it was, and they had Japanese actors for all the roles. Now, what happened is the people in America say, hey, this would be good, but we don't want to dub it, because dubbing TV shows and stuff just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Some people like movies dubbed, but they don't like the TV dubbed. So, they did that. They,
oh, yeah, for
they
sure cut, on the TV dubbed. That would have been terrible.
Right. And so they cut these people into the scenes where the normal teens would have been, you know, when they're out of their costume.
Yeah.
And then whenever they need to go to the fight scenes, they go back to the original Japanese recording. And so it was just a way, I mean, and in fact, I don't know how many years... I was trying to think of the year's difference between the original creator and the original, or this, but it was a couple years before it came to America, so that's why we are always having new seasons, because they're still making new seasons.
I gotcha.
But yeah, it was an interesting concept, and really, it was brought to America to sell toys.
Okay, sell toys, I gotcha.
You know, the Power Rangers toys.
Well, the thing
and
is
boy, haven't they.
When I was a kid, for some reason... Ninja was like the coolest thing you could be.
Right.
We had the Ninja Turtles.
Right.
Then the Power Rangers comes out. I know that you guys had people like Bruce Lee that brought...
Right.
Didn't he bring karate to America?
Yep.
Or kung fu? Or whatever it was, he brought that to America. So for some reason, Ninja has just been in the culture for so long.
Right.
It's definitely not as popular as it was, you know, when I was a kid, or even in the 70s and 80s when you guys... first got it.
Right.
But it kind of just, how it spans such a long time period.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of not really coming back, but it's got its audience out there because there's a network called El Rey Network.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I know all about El Rey. They have wrestling.
Every Sunday. Yeah. Lucha
Underground. I've never seen one match, but I only because I don't have the El Rey Network.
Oh. See, sucks. I got the masks and everything, so I wear them around the house.
Oh,
and watch
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, but they also have kung fu movies every Sunday.
Yes.
And all day long Sunday are these classic kung fu movies. It's becoming pretty popular, so I'm liking the idea of ninjas.
Culture getting back into the culture?
Yeah, bringing them back, and hopefully Power Rangers will help do that. But I don't know. I don't know if it's that influential of a movie. It was fun, though.
Yeah.
That's what, earlier you asked me what I liked about it.
Yeah, please.
It was fun.
Okay, it's fun.
That's exactly, if you go in there, you get your popcorn, your soda, and you sit and stare at the screen, and you have a blast, and you walk out of there and like, yeah, that was pretty cool. You know, it's not a matter of, okay, this was an in-depth, I had to think about it, who was falling in love with who, you know, anything like that. It's just, you just let go, and it washes over you.
Yeah.
You don't, no thinking involved.
So I'm glad that you brought that up, the who's falling in love with who thing, because this movie was laden with teenage sexual tension.
Oh my God.
Like,
wasn't it?
No other. Man. And I mean, I know that was in the original series that we saw on TV anyway, but geez, man, it was all throughout this thing, man, with Kimberly and Jason,
yeah,
for sure, and then the other two oddballs. Of course, Billy's by himself.
Yeah, he's by himself, but he's on the way he put it. He's high on the spectrum.
High on the spectrum.
So
that's
he,
right.
You know, he really didn't need anything to clutter further.
That's right.
But I like. Well, I'll tell you, they kind of played on the race one little moment in the movie where they all fall into the water and they start glowing in the water, the color of the ranger they're going to be.
Oh, and he goes, I'm black.
And he goes, I'm black. No, you're not. And he goes, and he's like, he's blue instead. So it's, yeah, I like that. It was kind of funny, but it's like, I will say that it's kind of a moment that wasn't needed. Well, I don't see why
it was just them being campy, trying to get a joke.
Yeah,
yeah. You know,
and
what
that's
I mean?
What it is. They were for sure. Yeah, but yeah, it's just I don't know. It's one of those aspects of a movie that it didn't matter. No. It washed over me. I walked out, and like I said, I was happy. I ate all my popcorn too,
dude. I ate a bag and a half.
Well, see, I get to go to the Eagle Theater in Robinson for mine, and I will tell you the one thing I really love: free refills.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. I go in there and I'll go, you know, eat my popcorn. If there's a quiet moment in the movie, I sneak out and get some more popcorn.
Oh yeah.
Soda, and I'm like, okay,
dude. I miss those
good
old,
fiber too, by
those
way.
Old homeschool little small town theaters. Mm-hmm. Everything's AMC or whatever the 50 other...
Oh, yeah, yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? The franchises.
Googleplex. And,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I like the hometown theater action with the free refills. We have something that has a picture of a dog on it in Washington.
Well, that's what I like about the Eagles. They got six screens.
Yeah. Nice. Now, how much is it for... Now, they're a podcast sponsor, so why don't we plug them real quick?
Yeah.
Give me some prices, man.
All right. So you're asking prices.
Well, first, let's go over this bargain that they have, $10 bargain Tuesday. Tell them what they get, Gil.
A ticket to the movie, small drink, and a popcorn. Now, if you just want the ticket only, you don't want to drink or popcorn, which I think is kind of like sacrilegious or something.
Yeah, it's
you
$10,
have to have popcorn.
Guys. It's $10.
But if you just want the ticket, it's only $5.50.
Unless you're in high school, I mean, I get it. Baller on a budget. I remember taking girls out on fancy dates to BK.
Yeah.
You know, no big deal.
Well, see, the other thing with it is like, you know, you could buy the one package, the $10 and $5.50, and you're still getting off pretty cheap. And yet you both can share a drink and popcorn and get closer together because, you know, that straw only goes so far. See? I see what they're doing there.
Oh, for sure, dude.
But anyway, yeah, so that's the $10 Tuesdays. But, they have a night free popcorn Thursdays.
Really?
You bring in your container, they'll fill it up. Doesn't matter what. I mean, you ought to see some of the containers that come in. Some of them
so
are,
you got to bring your own bowl, though.
Yeah, and it's all
BYOB, I got you.
Yeah, bring your own bowl. So it's really neat on that aspect. But let's say, okay, a regular ticket price before 6 o'clock, those matinees, it's $7.50. Let's see here. Then you got adults are $9 after 6. Seniors $7, children $6.50, so good prices. And 3D movies, they have to add some extra money on. So that's one thing. It's $2 extra for a 3D movie.
That's not a big deal.
No, really, because you get the cool glasses.
Now let's get into this. Do you like 3D movies?
Sometimes
at the theater.
It depends on the movie.
Okay.
And definitely at the theater. If because I've seen those home 3D systems.
Yeah, they suck.
I've not seen a good one for my taste. But, like, for example, Guardians of the Galaxy, which I still haven't brought you the DVD.
Yeah, man, what's up, dude?
But that one in 3D,
killing me.
Spectacular.
Killing me, Smalls.
It's spectacular. One of the greatest. Mad Max Fury Road.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful in 3D.
Yeah?
I'm trying to think of some others that I saw. Batman v Superman? Well, it was a horrible movie anyway, but still, it was horrible in 3D as well.
Is that the one with Ben Affleck?
Yeah.
You were not a fan?
A fan of Ben Affleck. I'm just not a fan of the script of that movie. It had nothing to do with comic books in reality.
See, other people are the opposite way. They just hate Ben Affleck. Being
Batman.
Being Batman. So, like, just hating.
I like him. So, I liked him in all the Kevin Smith movies he did. But, anyway. So, yeah. I mean, it depends on the movie. If it's 3D, if it looks like it's going to be a spectacle, I'll go see it in 3D.
I got you. So, like, would you see the new... I keep wanting to say Pandora for some reason. Avatar. Are you going to see the new Avatar in 3D?
Yeah.
Okay.
That one, last one was a spectacle, and I'm sure this is...
Last one was kind of long, man.
Oh, definitely.
I saw the late show, so we didn't get out of there until like 1 a.m. Man, I almost fell asleep that last hour.
That's the risk you have to take.
Well, you got to see the earlier show.
Yeah.
Or just bring coffee.
They should serve coffee at a...
You know what I mean? At a late one.
One thing, by the way, at the Eagle Theater, put in more plugs. Here I go. They have a flavor bar for your popcorn.
Ah, okay. Please tell me more about this flavor bar, sir.
It's really cool. You get, first of all, you can have the butter flavor, okay? Just the regular liquid butter, you know?
Uh-huh.
Then you go down the bar, and they have anything from candy apple to let's see, they got s'mores, jalapeno cheddar.
This goes on your popcorn?
Yeah. Jalapeno cheddar, there's a couple parmesan,
like that,
and garlic, and my favorite is salt and vinegar.
Make me very hungry, sir.
It's really cool, and they just have that. You can flavor it. My son, I don't know, Isaac just gets weird with it sometimes, but and he'll always say, here, try this. And it's like
that.
The nastiest thing I've ever had. He'll like mix like jalapeno with s'mores, and I'm like, oh. Yeah. He does that on purpose, I think.
So. Yeah, he does that to just mess with you. I get it. Yeah. I do it too. I'm a big prankster. Uh-huh. I was made for April Fool's. So let me tell you about this great April Fool's joke from this weekend. No.
So as you know, Gil, I've been doing a morning show on Saturdays for our sister station, Memories. Mm-hmm. And this week was April Fool's. Mm-hmm. Well, during the morning show, you can text in. You can literally just text the station. It'll come to my computer. I'll read it on air. Whatever. Sometimes I don't read it on air. Anyways, we got a text at about 9:30. Says there's a Prius in the parking lot with its lights on. Well, I drive a Prius.
Okay.
And I had been there since 6:30 in the morning. So the next commercial break, I run outside. My lights weren't on. And so I text that guy. I was like, rude. The guy's like, hey, April Fool's, man. I was like, God damn it. Got me. Got me while I was on the air. Oh. You son of a bitch.
Oh, well, I know. You're going to give me the number. You're going to give me the number that to that text on there.
Hell no, because you're going to do it.
Photos.
Just kidding. Well, we do a swap shop every week, so.
I got this for sale. Want to see another picture of some of the junk I want to sell? Here's my junk.
Exactly. Oh, this guy. That's awesome.
I could do that. I'll do that. We went on a tangent again. We do this.
Yeah, but that's why this kind of works so well.
Yeah, and it works for our podcast. By the way, have you ever listened to Bert Kreischer's podcast?
I have listened to Bert Kreischer's podcast. Let me ask you this.
Have you ever listened to Bert Kreischer's The Machine Story?
No, I have not.
You've got it. It's 10 minutes of your day, but it is 100% worth it.
I've heard people talking about that, yeah. But I started listening to his podcast, and he goes on tangents.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm listening to one right now with Dave Anthony and... Gareth Reynolds from The Dollop, and I think they're on the fourth hour right now.
Really?
Yeah.
They just go deep, man. And like, if they're drinking, oh, man.
And then, yeah, he says, hold on. He goes, hey, can we pause, guys? I got to pour another cocktail. And then you could hear a perfect pause, and then they start back up again.
Yes.
Like, wow, that's a marathon.
So you listened to his podcast just because the guys from The Dollop were on it.
That's what got me interested.
I got you.
They said they were on it, and then I've listened to a couple others since, and I'm like, okay, yeah, these guys.
But yeah, dude, YouTube... Bert Kreischer, The Machine.
All right.
It's f***ing hilarious.
I'll get that.
It's worth your time.
Yeah, they mentioned that there was some funny thing where somebody yelled out. Anyway, but they were referencing that, so I got to check it out.
So here's another nerdy thing about me, Gil.
Uh-oh.
And this doesn't really fall into the nerd culture, but how close I follow things is a little nerdy. So stand-up comedy is kind of my thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so whenever I used to travel with my mom, whether it was for her work or if we were going on vacation or something like that, for long road trips, we would listen to comedy tapes.
Oh.
A lot of Jeff Foxworthy.
Okay.
A lot of the Southern guys, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
We had a Madea tape when it was just a comedy thing. It wasn't movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you pick up those and you're driving up down the road. Well, as I became a college student and I could illegally... pirate
right
CDs and albums, stuff like that. Oh man, I was just grabbing as much stand-up comedy as I could get. So I actually have 67 stand-up albums on my iTunes right now as we speak. But since there's now Netflix and there's podcasting, I don't have to do that anymore,
right?
Because it's all out there for everybody anyway,
right?
But that's actually what got me to podcasting. So I would listen to all these stand-up CDs, and eventually you've heard every CD two or three times, especially the good ones.
Right.
You know what I mean? So when I ran out of stuff to listen to, I was like, well, some comedians do podcasts. And that's how I found Joe Rogan.
Right.
That's how I found the Adam Carolla podcast. That's how I eventually discovered Joey Diaz, who, if you guys like stand-up comedy and like just ridiculous shit, listen to Joey Diaz, Church of What's Happening Now. Get him wherever you get your podcasts. I'm telling you, it's worth your time. He's hilarious. He's crazy. But, dude, I get really deep into podcasts.
Deep into stand-up comedy. On that note, who's your favorite comedian?
My favorite comedian? Wow. It's probably, and this is a lot of people's, but it's probably Bill Burr. But if you have to ask me, like, my favorite comedy CD ever mm-hmm. was Eddie Murphy, Comedian.
Okay.
Great CD. I have all of Bill Cosby's stuff. I want to say, I can't remember which one is his funniest, but they're all funny as hell.
Didn't he have one called Disco Biscuits? Oh, no, never mind.
I see what you did there, sir. I was actually thinking in my head, I was like, I can't remember Disco Biscuits. Maybe I don't have all of Bill Cosby CDs. And then I got it. Because
uh-huh.
he used to drug women with Quaaludes. Quaaludes? Quaaludes. Yeah, because they used to call them lewds.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
Or Disco Biscuits.
Get up on your Bill Cosby, everyone.
So, yeah, I mean, I love comedy, too. When I was a kid, I had my mom left me, not left me, but like she...
Gave
me a bunch of records.
Okay.
And I just bought a record player at a garage sale.
Ah,
and
so we're like, talking like record.
Yeah, this is like as 8 or 9 years old. I bought this record player. My mom gave me these records to, you know, say, hey, listen to these. And so there were some like, there were some music ones in there. I mean, there's The Doors, there's some Rolling Stones, there was, Johnny Rivers. But they also had a whole bunch of Cosby.
Yes.
And Smothers Brothers.
Ah, Smothers Brothers, yeah, like, a couple of.
it was very interesting stuff.
Yeah.
And I was cracking up. And then as I got older, Steve Martin released albums, Richard Pryor.
Oh, yeah.
Eddie Murphy, of course. Then I kind of got away from it. But during the 80s, they had Stephen Wright. Remember Stephen
Wright? Oh, I remember Stephen Wright, King of One-Liners.
Yep. Loved him. Also, at the same time, or actually before that, Andy Kaufman.
See, I never got down with Andy Kaufman. I never thought any of his stuff that I have is funny.
It cracks me up every time. And knowing what's going to happen,
yeah,
it cracks me up even more.
So, I gotcha.
Yeah, he's the prankster. King of pranksters. Let's see here. Emo Phillips.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the characters.
That's a weird character,
comedians.
Yeah.
Yeah, the character comedians really excited me a lot of times. But then I got out of it until then someone said, hey, have you heard Mitch Hedberg?
There you go.
And then I'm like, no. And then I listened. I'm like, holy crap. I love comedy again.
Yeah.
You know?
Another king of the one-liner. So I think that you just kind of like that style of comedy.
Yeah. Something quick and easy to get it over with.
Yep.
So although Bill Cosby told a lot of stories. So.
A lot of great stories. Yeah. Mitch Hedberg, I actually, he kind of got me. What's really funny is that actually, now that you bring it up, that reminds me, he is the one that inspired me to find those illegal comedy albums online and download them for free because someone was playing one of his CDs in her car.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, who is that? She's like, it's Mitch Hedberg. I was like, oh, I remember him from, I saw him on Comedy Central or something.
Right.
It's like, dang. And then so I just started to download his stuff and then I found other stuff. I found Dan Cook stuff. I just started downloading all this stuff. And that's actually kind of what brought me back to it. So it's kind of crazy how that kind of goes full circle for both of us.
Yeah, well, actually, it's funny because whenever you got a list, like a category for your podcast, one of them is comics. And every time I do that, I'm like, do they mean comics like comic books or comics like stand-up comedians? And it's like, ah, crap, either way, I'm going to get it wrong. So
I gotcha. Yeah, okay, so since you brought that up for categories, so on Facebook, I just created the Crossover Sports Podcast Facebook group page, whatever, last night. And it tried to have me, you know, put it in a topic or a subject, something like that. And dude, podcast isn't a category on there.
Mm-mm.
And there's not a sports media or a sports podcast category on there. So it's like, I don't really know what to fill it out as.
Yeah, I think I just put up entertainment for mine.
I think I did that too. Yeah, just entertainment.
Just entertainment. Because whether it entertains or not, I consider it entertainment.
It's entertaining for me. I'm entertained as all hell right now.
if I weren't, I still wouldn't be here after 113 episodes. So all right, well, let's see here. So we saw Power Rangers. We wrapped that up and you just said all in all.
Okay, actually, no, let's talk a little bit more about Power Rangers. So let's get back to that. So what did you not like about the movie? Was it the campiness? And I don't want to answer your question for you, but
no, it wasn't that. Because I kind of expected that. I can't say what I didn't like. I really nothing I can say I didn't like about it. It's just it wasn't like it's just not going to be my top 10.
You're not going to purchase it.
No, definitely not.
All right, so let me tell you what I didn't like about it. Since you don't have one.
All right.
Spoiler alert, guys. Another one. So Billy dies, man.
Right.
The Blue Ranger.
Right.
The black young man.
Yep.
Plays the smart, sort of autistic kid, or high on the spectrum
yep.
Fella. He drowns, guys. And and they kind of just, the kids, they pull him out of the water, and they all stand around him, and they're like, huh, Billy's dead, man. And they kind of like, oh, Billy's dead. And then they drag him 10 miles to the lair or the hideout or whatever you call the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, hey, Zoran, Billy died, man.
Yeah.
And then opens up a portal, and then Billy's not dead anymore.
Yeah, right, well.
Here's what I didn't like. Why didn't they try CPR? Or they try to, like, they didn't listen for breathing. They just looked at him and were like, nope, he's dead.
He's dead.
That kid's dead.
Drag him along.
Yeah, just drag him along. We're going to put him on our shoulder now. He's dead. Okay, so how about this? So in the original series, Zach was not an Asian guy. What did you think about that aspect of it in this story?
Didn't faze me a bit.
Okay. What about the odd girl? What was her name? Tilly? Tiffy? Tina?
Yeah.
Terry?
Now you're going to make me think. Trini.
Okay.
Trini.
First off, was that her name in the original? I don't think so.
I don't recall.
I don't remember there being a weird name.
See, I wasn't that big of a...
But I don't know why they would change the name either.
Right. But Jason, Kimberly, Billy, Zach were original.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, well, all right, let's look that up. Let's find out. Trini.
Yep.
Trini.
Okay, so it was that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I was way the wrong.
What I thought was funny is that Billy's last name is Cranston, and so Brian Cranston was in there.
That is hilarious.
All right, so you didn't like the fact that they didn't do CPR on him.
Yeah, man, you got to at least try to save your buddy, right? Like, if you were to pass out right now and go into diabetic shock, uh-huh. I would do something. I don't know what, but I'd do something. I also know the Heimlich. I'm CPR certified.
Ah.
So if you did need CPR, like, I got you. I'm not sure I can save your life, but I got you.
Well, I can tell you this, that they are going to be looking for a Green Ranger.
So I need to apply.
Yeah, you know, okay. I think you'd go well in the costume.
I need to send in my
reel.
Guy
to save Billy.
Yeah, I need to send in my reel. And you know what? I need to bring it up in the next movie, too. Like, that has to be a conflict thing with me and Jason.
Yeah, there you
go. Because, you know, Green Ranger, him and Red Ranger go at it a little bit. That'll be my thing. But, hey, man, I heard you didn't even try to save Billy last year when he drowned. What's up with that, bro?
And then, boom. And then there's the conflict that separates exactly. The group. Because every movie, Power Rangers or any kind of group of heroes, mm-hmm. there's got to be something that's going to break them apart for a little bit, and they come back together. Teamwork is what wins the day.
Yep.
That's the
yep.
formula for every single
Well, movie. Actually, that's kind of what happened. Billy brought them back together, right?
Yep, exactly.
So that kind of explains why he died, man.
I guess
that's how they learn how to morph. They're like,
that's right. Because
they believed in each other, and they loved each other. That's how you get to morph if you're a Power Ranger.
Yeah, you got to believe in
You got to love one another.
Kind of like, you know, when Tinkerbell like dies, you got to believe in fairies and clap your hands.
That's right. Dude, I feel like if I was Peter Pan, I could fly. Also, I just want to say that this is pretty nerdy, but when I was a teenager, two kid rappers came out. One of them was Lil Bow Wow, and the other one was Lil Romeo. Lil Bow Wow had a Mickey Mouse chain.
Right.
Or no, Lil Bow Wow had a Bugs Bunny chain. Lil Romeo had a Mickey Mouse chain. I always said that if I was to get a chain as a young white rapper, I was going to get Peter Pan. Because Peter Pan was my favorite Disney movie. So long story short.
I don't know if that'd be a good
rapper. Oh, dude, he'd be badass. He'd be flying. Got the wing tips.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe. Oh, anyhow. All right. Well, you know what? That wraps up this episode of the podcast.
That works
for
me,
brother. We filled
up
the time. We've talked about movies. And it's fun to have what someone would have, or what I would have conceived as a non-nerd previously, is actually still a nerd at heart. So everybody's a nerd somewhere.
Damn right.
That's the cool thing about it. All right, well, so that's it for the episode of the podcast. Brett Hartman from the Crossover Podcast. Tell them how they can find your sports podcast.
It is the crossoversportspodcast.blogspot.com. Or you can hit me up on Twitter, Brett_Hartman or Kid Canada. You can get them both ways.
That's a story for later.
That's a nerdy sports story for later. So yeah, hit me up, Brett Hartman on Facebook, Brett Hartman on Twitter.
Okay.
The crossover sports podcast.blogspot.com
on iTunes.
Yeah, or on iTunes. And the crossover sports podcast.
And also I'll have a link for you on the page as well. So all right, well thanks for joining me, and we're gonna come back with some more great wonderful stuff. Who knows what else is coming up? I know. We got some, it's convention time, that's that time of year, so convention season. I'll have some reports from the Indiana Comic Con. There will be Days of the Dead. All right, well, that's it for another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Gil T. Wilson. You can reach me on Twitter at Gil Wilson.
I'm Isaac Wilson. You can probably reach me better at Twitter now than you used to, at EvilBacon88, because I'm starting to somewhat use it more. Not nearly as much as Facebook, but...
Right.
I'll hop on it from time to time.
There you go. And also, don't forget, buy our merchandise. You know, like I said, just look good in a t-shirt. We don't hardly get anything back on those t-shirts. Most of the price is cafe press. If anybody's working cafe press, you know that the way they do things, it's a hard problem. But I think you should get one, because not to fund us, but to look good. I really think they look cool. And even Brett said so. But anyway, that's it for the Nerd Up Podcast. Like we say each and every week, or each and every time.
It's more than time. Oh, wait.
No.
Wrong phrase.
Stay nerdy.
Stay nerdy.